Today is a pivotal day. Yes, it is the day before Memorial Day. And I encourage you tomorrow to take your time beyond the cookouts and the family gatherings to remember. To remember those who gave a sacrifice for something beyond themselves. And to remember those who lived on even though others did not. Remember likewise those who conscientiously chose a different path and did such things as during wartime as become guinea pigs to be experimented on to see what human endurance could happen. And those who served as smoke jumpers, leaving home, putting themselves at risk, or those who served in psychiatric hospitals, like our Mennonite and brothers and sisters who went on from there to found some first-rate psychiatric mental health facilities, such as Brook Lane in our district. Remember tomorrow. Today is pivotal time. On this last Sunday in the church calendar, this last Sunday of the season of Easter, we are between, if you follow holy days, and us brethren don't really follow holy days because we believe that every day is sacred. But today is kind of a between Ascension Day and Pentecost. Ascension Day being the day when we remember Jesus leaving, not his death, but after he rose from the dead and he left. And Pentecost is, of course, being next Sunday, by the way, the celebration of the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But we are sort of in between. Sort of like those disciples with Jesus. You know, we caught the middle of a prayer a little bit earlier. We didn't hear the beginning of it. We didn't hear the end of it. And really, that prayer is the tail end of a 5-chapter discourse, which some scholars call the last discourse, or if you will, the last will and testament of Jesus, right before he was arrested. 5 chapters long, and I sort of wonder what those disciples must have been thinking as they were hearing Jesus say all of these things. I mean, saying things that must have made them stop to think and maybe not hear other things that he was saying, for a lot of what he said was disturbing. He began in John's gospel, and we're following John's gospel, which is really a community's gospel. Scholars believe that the Gospel of John was one of the last Gospels that was put down on paper. And it was really brought together, so some believe, by a community of faith which had been set on fire by the testimony of the disciple John. 5 chapters, which begin with, for brethren, very familiar words. It begins with feet washing, which is so very important, because if you are basically saying in 5 chapters worth, and they can be boiled down to one word, goodbye. But that word packs a mouthful. Jesus began his goodbye to the disciples, not with words, but with action, by getting down on his knees and doing what words can't express. And of course, you know the disciples had a hard time understanding why he was doing that. Just like today, we have a hard time understanding what God is doing in this world. Through these five chapters, as it's remembered and been passed on to us in the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus speaking hard words. Like he's going somewhere, and the disciples say, "We don't know where you're going." And Jesus said, in words that some of us have remembered because we have run through it over and over and over again, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also." How many have that memorized? "And in my Father's house," how many? "Many mansions." That's how many of us remember that. Familiar words. But I'm sure for those disciples, as he was saying that, they were going, "What?" Maybe not the mansions part, but the "I am going." And you sort of wonder how they managed to remember the rest of what he had to say. Words that were difficult. Words that were calling his disciples, calling us to do difficult stuff. Not just seeing what Jesus had to do, going to the cross, but what it truly means to love. One of the most difficult things in the world, a word that we toss around all too easily. It takes a lifetime to discover what it means to abide in love. Realizing that love can die. Love did die, didn't it? Upon the cross. And yet we believe that love rose again. We come to that portion that was read this morning. And it seems so fitting that Jesus, in seeking in his last will and testament, if you will, to plant his disciples, to firmly plant them where God wanted them to be. Not plant in terms of that they would be stuck in place, but plant so that the roots of their faith could grow deep to the living water. It seems so very appropriate, though the words may seem strange to us, but so very appropriate that Jesus ended with prayer. This is one of the longest prayers in the New Testament. Prayer of Jesus. And we just heard the middle part. This prayer is divided into three sections. The first is where he is praying for himself. It's okay to pray for yourself. Jesus did. Prayed that God would somehow glorify this mess. Well, I didn't put it in those words, but that's it. That you would glorify me. For what he was facing ahead. And the words that we heard just now were where he was praying for his disciples and what they were going to be facing. And thanking God for them. "Now, you've given them to me." Not in the possessive sense, but "you have given to them to me, and I have sought to be faithful with them. And to pass on, not just the words, but the actions." And Jesus prayed for them as they would face the difficult days that lie ahead. For it was not an easy path, neither for Jesus or for them. The truth is, they all died. Some of them died horrible deaths. Some of them didn't. But that's what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. The last part of the prayer is where Jesus is praying for us. And I encourage you to read the last part of that chapter on your own, because that is Jesus' prayer for you. For those who would be receiving the testimony of those original disciples. And what God would continue to do down the road. Down the road. Thank you, Sue, for using that prayer. I asked her to pray because I was not sure I could. I have been struggling. I was struggling leading up to what on earth I would say to you this morning. And I think we're on firm ground as long as I'm getting us to focus on Jesus and upon God. Because without God abiding in us, this tree dies. May God abide in you. Remember that tree we sang of earlier. The tree can grow in any kind of environment, you know. It can. You grow where you're planted. You can grow tall and strong in spite of adversity. You can grow to the sky. But we've got to grow deep to the living water. And sometimes that hurts. May God bless you as God plants you. Amen.